Yeah.
Yeah, it's fair. Yeah. I'll probably say that you're here. So today we're heading to Japan with my very dear friend Remco, who's not from Japan, as you might be able to tell from the name Remco.
Especially my last name.
Frolic. See, I can pronounce that.
Probably like one of the few.
Still. So Remco and I are both from the Netherlands, but I think we've only lived in the same country once for 6 months, and that was in the UK. Although you lived in England and I lived in Scotland, so it's debatable whether that was the same country. But it was at least the same time zone.
That's very true. I think that tells a lot about the both of us.
I know, right? It's really mental. But we've been friends for what, 20 odd years ish?
Yes, something like that. I'm maybe even more, maybe 22.
Some along those lines. We're both very organized. We understand time. And today we are on Street View outside your house in Japan. You've been in Japan for a long time now, huh?
Yes, I've had this house for about 10 years, and I've been based in this little town for 17. So came for 1 year, and then life happens. So still here.
Sure did.
Oh,
1 year turns to 17, huh? That's incredible.
So one of the reasons for that is this house that we're looking at, actually. So I bought this 10 years ago. I guess I already was here for 7 years, but I work on the international like relations here at the local city hall, and that was a lot of fun. So for the first few years I just stayed because the job was just a lot of fun. And then I bought the house, and then I feel like I'm kind of married to this house. So still here.
And you're doing this up to become a guest house, yeah?
Yes, that's right. So that's the that that's that was the original plan. Still not. Didn't get that far yet, but it's finally things are finally starting to move. So I bought the house 10 years ago, and then I had it registered as a heritage building. It used to be an old geisha house, and those are quite rare these days. And the previous owner was going to demolish it, so the neighbors, they just phoned me up and they said, "Oh, Remco, I think you should have a look." And I went to have a look, and it was great. I was why do you destroy this? And then they said, no one wants old houses anymore. Like, we can't sell it like this. So they're just gonna demolish it and sell the land. And I was like, I'll buy it. So they were like, well, you better be quick because we're signing the demolition papers like next week. So I was like, okay. And I phoned him up the next day. I said, I'll buy it. So I bought it. And then I had it registered as a heritage house so I could qualify for subsidies. And then I did the roof. I redid the whole roof maybe 5 years ago. And then finances were low, to say the least. So then I had to start go back to work, and or I already was working, but like full-time job and everything. So then now 5 years later, I'm finally like starting with plans to like do it up like properly. So
What's the layout of the house? Like how many bedrooms or what's the how does it
yeah you
yeah,
so
what's the layout?
You see this like triangular roof? It's kind of behind that mirror, which is kind of in the way on this view, but you see this triangular roof? Like that was the entrance of the house. And then there was a gate in front of it. So in the old days, you would like go through the gate and then enter the house through that, like under like that kind of triangular roof. And then there would be a staircase going up, and then there were like there's one like big kind of dining room facing the back of the house, which faces the sea. So from the top of my house, you like kind of look out over the bay, over the sea, and then that's where they have like dinners and like parties and things like that. And the geisha would like dance, and then there are like couple of private rooms. There's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven private rooms on the second floor where you could stay over. And then on the ground floor, I have about eight rooms, and that was for like private living quarters. And then the thing that kind of sticks out to the road, like kind of all the way the left part of the house. It's got a little bit L-shaped. The ground floor there, that was the shop, like a shop part where they would sell kind of medicine. Yeah.
So like a pharmacy, essentially.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it's like really old style. I'm not sure if like this is more, it's more like Chinese medicine, I guess. But they had these like kind of patches that you could just like stick to yourself on like wounds and things like that.
Like a
Yeah, kind of.
medicated adhesive that would just go on.
And this is the beginning of the 1900s, so like nine this the house is built around 1900, so yeah, so they still have those in Japan. Actually, I think a lot of the brands that you'll find like these adhesive kind of like patches that like warm your body or like you know like are like for like muscle ache and stuff like that. Like a lot of the companies in Europe, at least, are Japanese companies. So I guess it's been around for, like, it's quite embedded in the culture, I guess. But yeah,
And
this was one. Sorry, go
that whole
ahead.
structure is yours, right? That the whole structure we're looking at.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So
That's where
there's
you're
four.
physically sitting as well, talking to us. Like you're in here.
I'm at the back side of the house, but
Of
yeah.
course not. So you said there were seven rooms up top, eight down below. So there's 15 livable rooms in this structure, this house.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, it's amazing. I'm baffled, as the American here, right? Like a 15 room house is like what celebrities have in the Hollywood Hills, right? Like just the gaudiness of it. But this is fascinating. I really, really like this. I like how there's the store on the bottom. That's really interesting to me. And there's so many. I mean, you could turn this into a hotel if you wanted to, right? Like a little bed and breakfast. Like there's a lot of things you can do with something like this. And I think that's where my mind is just. Is really moving. It's really cool what you've landed upon here, you know?
Well, you kind of read my mind because that's exactly what I'm trying to do with the house. So, like next year, I hopefully start renovations, and hopefully I can turn it into a like a small bed and breakfast. So that's the idea, at least.
Okay. Well, that's what it felt like. I'm glad I was already on that train with you. No, that's really, really cool. Again, most people you would think that would buy a property in anywhere, right? Or especially in a foreign country, you live in there for a while, it wouldn't be a 15 room place with a grand hall and a store. But like that's why I'm so fascinated, and it's the coolest thing.
I didn't plan on buying a 15 room house either. But it's kind of like, I don't know, you just stumble like life, I don't know, like you just stumble upon things, I guess. So That's what it happened, because I actually was looking for a place at the time, because I wanted to start. I studied tourism and Japanese in university, so I studied in the UK, as Mags mentioned earlier, so I was in Japan and my interest was in tourism, so I was looking for a place to, have like a little guest house or a little B&B. And it was just going to be a small place. And then just, this house came along and it was super affordable. Like really cheap compared to Dutch standards. So, I thought I'm just going to go for this. So then I ended up with a 15 room house, which was not the original plan, but it's been a bit of a journey. Sometimes I wish I didn't go for a 15 room house, but it's finally moving. And no, but it's a beautiful place as well. So I've been enjoying it for the past 10 years as well. So
So yeah, the plan fully is to renovate it, bed and breakfast, like full operation. And would it be for
yes.
locals as well, or people, or like solely internationals that it would be more of a focus for? Like, hey, come visit, come see the town. You're gonna run a guided tour around. Like it's gonna be something along those lines, right?
A lot of Japanese, like local people say, oh, like I'm sure you're gonna get a lot of foreign people, but this place being so far away, we don't get that many foreign visitors at the moment. So I think that most of the customers will actually be Japanese. Also because these kind of old houses, they used to be very common maybe like 50, 60 years ago. But many of them have disappeared in the past. You can also see around my house like a lot of new buildings. So, this is the only house left in this particular harbor. So also for Japanese people, like staying in like a such an old place is also kind of becoming an experience. Like when you go on holiday, you want maybe something that, different from your daily life. So in the past, Japanese people, they would live in an old house, and so when they travel, they prefer to go to a big, concrete hotel. But now, a lot of Japanese grew up in big concrete mansions, like flats and small apartments, and so staying in a house like this is kind of a, special experience for them. So I think a lot of Japanese, most people will be Japanese that will come and stay.
It's mostly wood, I'm assuming, right? Is what it looks like, or what else is it built out of?
So the completely wooden frame, big beams that support the roof. The roofs in Japan are traditionally very heavy because of this traditional clay tiles. And then the walls, so the front of the house is completely glass front. So also the back of the house completely glass. So because the structure in Japan, it's a frame structure. So the wooden structure itself carries all the weight. And then you can basically fill in the walls wherever you want to add a bit of extra strength. So the size of the house, and of course also the dividers between the rooms, are wall like clay walls that's made with a bamboo frame, where they throw like pack the clay onto. So it's like maybe 25, 30 centimeter thick clay wall. On the sides of the
So
house.
clay and bamboo, it's no drywall.
Yeah, so what it, well, it of course it dries up. So you have the bamboo frame, you add the kind of a mix between clay and straw. You'll have let it ferment for a few months. And then once it's fermented, you put it on this bamboo frame and you let it dry out, and then it will complete, like you'll get a lot of cracks in there when it dries up, And then you put in more sand in a new layer of clay, and then you add that. And the more sand you add to the clay, the less cracks you will have. So by combining really rough clay in the middle of the wall and very fine kind of sandy clay on the outside, it dries up really neatly. So you end up with a very flat, dry, kind of packed wall.
Oh, it makes sense. So like here in the States, most of our homes, like as you can kind of see, you can see like the walls, it's what we call drywall. It's like plaster and paper. It's like paper sandwiched in between plaster. Like that's where you can punch a hole through it, like you see in movies. So that's where with the wooden structure, like these homes here, wooden, especially where I'm at in Washington, like wooden structure homes, but it's all drywall for the ceiling, for the walls. But like what you're describing with the clay, and like it seems like it's a lot more, not sturdy, but more durable is what
I'm saying. Yeah. I see what you mean with drywall.
That's what we call it. Like I had to look it up to like explain it, because I'm like, I've always known it as drywall, but I was like, what the hell is drywall? I was trying to, so that's where I knew it was a term where I was like, wait, no, I know he knows what I'm trying to say, but we call it drywall in the States.
Okay, yeah. That's what they use for modern Japanese housing as well. So they will use these plaster boards as a base, and then on top of that they will apply the final finishing, whether that's plaster or paper or whatever. And then they might add some insulation material in the middle. But
you're having this you're having this all sort of renovated in tradition with the traditional ways that it would have been built, right?
As much as I can. So the walls, I'm planning to use mud walls again, put in mud walls again for the parts that I need, where I need to put in new walls. So yeah, as much as possible. But for example, for the roof, traditional way of applying the tiles is first you put on like a 30 centimeter thick layer of clay, and then you, when it's still wet, you add the tiles on top and they kind of sink in it, and it creates a kind of a vacuum and the tiles just stay. And it's actually really, really sturdy. But it's so labor intensive to do that. And it adds such a huge amount of weight to the house. And just imagine there's like tons and tons of clay on the roof. So, which keeps the house really stable in case of like small earthquakes. But when a earthquake is like really big, like the whole thing will just, like once like it's moved, the movement of the ground is too much, then the whole thing will just basically collapse. So it's perfect for small earthquakes, but very not good for very heavy earthquakes. So for the roof, I did a modern way of tiling, which means you just put on a basic wooden base with the plastic water repellent sheets. And then on top of that, you kind of nail the tiles on top of that. So it creates a more very light roof.
Mm-hmm. Which makes it better for larger earthquakes.
Which are a thing of earthquakes is that's my natural.
That's not in my mind as a thing.
Yeah, being a Southern Californian, you know, him and I share the same ocean. So it's a big thing. And the way they have to build houses over there too, like again, a lot more drywall, a lot more stucco. You know, it's hard to describe stuff too. It's like that. It's a very like Southern California thing. But now you were saying, so the clay, the walls, or what was it, the roof that was 30 centimeters thick?
The walls, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well,
I did the conversion for me. Like it's the foot, it's 11.8 inches. So it's pretty much a ruler. It's a foot. That is it's a pretty thick wall.
So I think I might have said a bit too much. I think it's maybe more like 15 to 20. I think 30 would be a bit, it's a bit too much. But 15 to 20 centimeters, maybe, thick wall.
So half a foot still.
6-7 inches. Okay, that's still pretty decent. for the walls.
Yeah, it's a very sturdy wall. So yeah, no way you could punch through it. Yes. So and then you finish it with plaster, so it just or sand. Yeah, sand finish also sometimes, but yeah, very solid way of building. The lucky thing is that we don't have any, this is not an earthquake prone region, so that we don't have any kind of fault lines nearby. So throughout recorded history, there's never been a big earthquake in this area. So lucky to be in one of the most safe areas of Japan in that respect. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I really like how you're trying to keep it as traditional as you can, right? Obviously, there's certain things you have to do, which is modern technology, but it's not like you're leveling it, or even on the inside, you're turning it into a, like you said, like what would look more like an Airbnb or a hotel that people would traditionally stay at, right? With drywall and all that type of stuff. So I really like how you're keeping it as close as you can to 19, you said 1900 or 1901?
Yeah, somewhere around there. We don't know for sure, but yeah, 1900 to 1905.
Yeah, 125 years. That's amazing. Like how.
Yeah. I just had a bunch of people like a few, 2 or 3 hours ago, because I'm renovating within a scheme where the Japanese government is providing funding for people to renovate old houses like this and then use them for tourism purposes. And so they did like a free, you get like a free kind of assessment, like free house assessment, where they'll just come and check everything, and then they give you a proposal for like the renovation program you can do, and they just came up with the layout, and they said it basically meant I was gonna like basically scrap the whole house, just like the whole front of the house would be gutted. If you come inside, it would be like completely empty from all the way to the top of the house, and then just make it like three rooms that will have like a view onto the seaside, which I understand from a business point of view, but I was like, okay, let's talk about this later, but I was like, this is not gonna happen. So you have people who do that in Japan as well, of course, that just, you know, strip the whole place and just like make it really, you know, nice to maybe stay in as a hotel. But yeah, that's definitely not what I want to do. So,
I mean, you still want to make it nice to stay in, though. I just want to.
Yeah, of course. Like these old houses are terrible.
It sounded like you said, like, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to make it horrible to stay in.
No, not in that way, but I don't want to strip the whole house, like all this like original features. You know, they have beautiful like bamboo lattice, like openings between the rooms, and you know, it's really like a lot of these kind of beautiful architectural things that you would not see in any kind of modern house. Or I'd say even if it's like a really nicely built house these days, you would not find those kind of like detailed, like, you know, crafty elements in the house. So like, to me, it just, you know, like it would make no sense to get rid of all of that and install like, you know, something that's comfortable, but, you know, you completely lose this sense of like history and yeah, sense of place almost. Yeah. So.
Hey, it's Mikes. Thanks for joining us for a conversational cuppa, and we'll see you next time.